Hello and welcome to the Brady Bros Boston Sports Podcast, where we cover everything in the Boston sports world. My name is James Brady, and I would say alongside, but I'm going to guess 4,000 or 5,000 miles away. It's my brother Nicholas. 4,000. All right.
Hello, everybody. Today is Thursday, September 12th, and episode 32. We are officially back. We actually haven't been gone for that long. Well, 2 weeks. 2 weeks, I guess.
2 weeks,
right?
Yeah. But
yeah, but yes, we are very far away, and as you can tell, we warned you about this. The quality's probably, well, not probably. Quality's not as good.
Yeah, quality's definitely lower. I have to be quiet because I'm living in a building with 900 other people now.
900?
Yeah, it's the largest res.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't know how many are in mine.
And I have like all of this stuff in my room, so I got like a fridge and stuff, which is louder than you think. You never realize it until you turn on the mic how loud it is.
Pick up every... Yeah, luckily I was able to show my window, otherwise you'd hear just the entire city. There's like a park right across from where I live, so just kids screaming literally 24/7.
All right, that's enough of our lives for the time being.
That was a quick detour that...
Yeah.
Quick in the sense, whatever, doesn't matter. We'll start with the Boston Red Sox, as much as I personally don't want to talk about them.
Things have just gotten progressively worse.
Yeah, this is the make-or-break week, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, they're sitting 10 games back of the wild card right now. They are officially eliminated from, not playoffs, but the division, like winning the division, they're out of that, which obviously we didn't think that was going to happen. Anyway, earlier this week, they parted ways with President of baseball operations Dave Dombrowski following a loss to the Yankees, in which that they got swept that series, right? Or did they win the first one? Maybe
they won the first one and then they lost, and then the they next got two or three. I think it's
three. Yep. So yeah, things have just gone from bad to what seems like worse, and I don't know, you and I barely touched on this the other day when we talked briefly, but if they don't turn things around here in the next couple of weeks, I just hope they don't fire Cora personally. I don't think he's 100% to blame for what's going on. Granted, the manager shared some of this responsibility of them not playing well, but I think they should definitely give him at least another year to... Because, I mean, they just think of the incredible season they had last season, and then to go to what we're dealing with now, just trying to scrape into the wild, not a good look.
Yeah, you bring a good point, though. Like, I honestly don't... I was surprised by the Dave Dombrowski thing. That kind of took me by surprise. But the Alex Cora thing, like, I really hope he doesn't lose his job either. But the thing is, the Red Sox, yes, they're not playing as well as we want them to, but they're not playing poorly. It's not like they've absolutely tanked.
These last couple of weeks.
But as a whole, they're still one of the better teams in baseball right now, and it's just unfortunate that we're surrounded by such good teams with the Yankees in our division, as well as, you know, the Astros and these other teams that are doing just as well and obviously a little bit better than we are. But I don't think that we need to throw everything out the window and abandon ship and clean house and all this stuff just because we're not doing as well as is expected. But given the standard that was set last year, it's almost impossible to follow that up with a similar performance, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think just the expectations were probably way too high coming into this year and everything. But another thing you and I touched on briefly the other day, if you kind of want to pick the where it hurts the most, I think, is the pitching rotation. This has not been a good year for our pitching rotation. We're playing every fourth game now with a bullpen all game, basically. We don't have four starting pitchers, let alone five. I mean, Chris Sale's done from the year. David Price has been gone for a while now. And we're looking at Rick Porcello. Eovaldi's not back to anywhere near what he was last year.
Yeah.
And Eduardo Rodriguez, correct?
Eduardo Rodriguez has been the anchor of this rotation. He's played phenomenally this year. And it's disappointing that it took these circumstances to make him stand out like he has. But I think he's up to 16 or 17 wins. Like, he's pitched incredibly this year. in lieu of all of the other awful bullpen and starting rotation issues we've had.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like every week or every couple of days at least, we're calling up a pitcher from the minor leagues, pardon me, and just trying anything. And if you don't have a good pitching rotation, I mean, it sounds like obvious, but you're not going to go far. You need to have those two or three aces that you can turn to, and we barely have one with all our pitchers combined.
And I think part of it is too, if you think about last year where our pitching was a little bit of an issue in terms of like the bullpen and stuff heading into playoffs, but if you look at that, first of all, yes, the bullpen pitched well, but that is also supported so heavily by the amount of offense that was produced by this team last year that even if a bullpen guy gives up two or three runs, we're matching that, if not going above that, to give them the cushion they need to pitch comfortably and make it look like a better performance than it maybe really was.
Yeah, and I mean, just to add on to the fact that we don't even have a real closer still. It was clearly now a huge mistake that we didn't go get one at the trade deadline, and something that they definitely need to address if they want to. I don't want to say make the playoffs because the closer won't make them the playoffs now. But if they want to be a contender, say they make the playoffs, they need that guy there, and absolutely going into next year, we need to have that. That lockdown guy that we can bring in for an inning to shut the other team out.
All right, I think that covers pretty much everything for the Red Sox.
Yeah, are we just gonna ignore the banging that's going on right now
Yeah, those are
in
just
the background?
the
Doors
doors here
open,
are
closed.
heavy. That's all I'll say. If you let them
Yeah.
go, they'll wake you up.
Yep. Quick Celtics segment, because really, we don't have that much to talk about. Just in terms of if we want to go basketball as a whole, Team USA just lost to France in the FIBA World Cup,
That was the first
which
time
is
in
the
like
f
57 straight games that they've won in international appearances, and now they've lost.
yeah. So they are. I don't know how that really works, but are they like they're done, right?
They're
That
done, yeah.
they're done. Yep.
They lost in the quarterfinals.
Interesting. We always like
We
clean
usually
up, right?
lock up, yeah, that in the Olympics, it's usually pretty locked down by Team USA, but I guess not this year.
Regardless, prior to losing to France, the Celtics players, as we've mentioned before, that are with Team USA right now, and Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, and Kemba Walker. I don't know who it was exactly. You put this in here, I think, right?
I can
Yeah,
get
was
into
it
the
all
team.
four of them
Well,
got
it
into
was
an.
Jaylen Brown got into an altercation with Giannis Antetokounmpo and his brother, which I won't even try to pronounce his name, because I'll butcher it. But his brother also
Oh, I want to look
plays
it up.
for the Greek team. But it was at the end of the game. I think it was Smart or Brown got fouled. They were upset about the call, and then after the game, they had some words to say to Giannis and his brother, and it kind of sparked a little bit. Not like pushing or shoving or anything, but it's just them getting up in each other's faces. And then I think, Tatum and a couple other guys came over to just kind of break it up. But maybe some blood
Preview of
we can
what's
get
to come?
into. Some
Preview of what's
bad
to come?
blood. I hope so. You know what? If there was a massive brawl, or at least a rivalry between the Bucks and the Celtics this year, I'd be down.
I'm down for any sort of
We are
rivalry, pardon me.
we already hate the Sixers, so we might as well just keep adding them on.
Yeah, just add blood with just every team.
Yes.
All right, well, going off that, Team USA may be done, but we are 6 weeks out from NBA basketball. The first regular season game kicks off October 23rd. I forget, did the Celtics play that night or no?
I
They
think
play
they
the next
do,
night.
don't they?
They open, I know for a fact, they open their season against the Philadelphia 76ers, as you
Oh,
just
maybe it's the next
mentioned.
day. Yeah. I don't know.
Anyway,
I don't
let's keep
remember.
on going to the other half of the TD Garden in the Boston Bruins. Again, not a whole lot here, but James, I will let you take it away.
Yeah, so I did some digging. This was like the closest thing to any sort of interesting news I could find. So Corey Krug. Yep. Nope. Not that. Torrey Krug has not been in talks regarding his contract with the Boston Bruins. And I was a little alarmed by that to begin with. But after some reading, he actually has one season left on his contract, but they've yet to mention extensions, any sort of thing. And he said he was just kind of a little disappointed that they hadn't reached out yet, but obviously he wants to be with Boston for this season. And he's happy with the team and the position he's at right now. He feels like he's proved himself, going to get paid, hopefully, because he's an incredible player. But it basically just said that the Bruins' main focus right now is paying the youngest guys like McAvoy and a couple other young guys who need to get a solid contract set. But basically, in short, nothing crazy going on. Like, no one's leaving. No one's been traded really recently. Like,
I have not heard any
NHL news. We're pretty set. Yeah, the NHL news is pretty dry right now.
I noticed you got this from a Canadian site, James. If you go Toronto Sports Network.
Yeah, it was TSN.
James has gone full Canada.
It's just a good sports network. It's less biased than ESPN, so it's just refreshing at this point.
I'm just saying. Anyway, the NHL season kicks off. Well, you can't really say kicks off in the NHL, can you? The NHL season starts October 2nd.
The puck drops on the NHL season.
There it is. Yeah, thank you. The Bruins... first game is October 3rd with preseason a couple weeks prior to that, if you care about preseason hockey.
We're going to move on to the Patriots now.
good pickup. Thank you.
So opening night for the Patriots, and it was all Patriots. 33-3 win against the Steelers. We managed to get a pretty ghetto streaming setup in my room, so we had like five people in here all watching the game. And there was not a doubt in my mind from the first snap of the ball that it was going to be a Patriot. Like, just Patriots win. Steelers looked lost, confused. That dude, that center, is still just holding the ball ready to snap it.
Oh, good meme.
Yeah, that was the funniest play. I've never actually seen a false start by everyone but the center until that point. So there you go. I'll let you break down some stuff if you want to. I don't know how much of this you caught because it was at like,
It started at 2:20 a.m. and the amount that I caught would be zero because I fell asleep at around 1:30.
All right.
I tried my best, but I was, oh man, it had been a long weekend up to that point. I was out late, as I told you.
Yeah.
And I didn't have the fuel in me. But this weekend they play. Actually, I won't be able to catch the game probably this weekend. They play at 7 p.m. here, but I will be going on a little trip this weekend. Elsewhere. So
yeah, we play Miami, so you know we're gonna run it up. They got smacked 59-10. Oh, that was incredible.
By the Ravens, nonetheless.
Yeah. By a bunch of running backs. I'll stick to it. I'll stand by it.
Do you want to go through some of the stats from the game? Or
yeah, I'll break down some basic stats. And first of all, the first half, Tom Brady looked like a little bit shaky on the first like drive or two of the game. I was like, oh, God, you know, he just got to get into it, right? But once he did, he was locked in. He was making incredible throws. He had a couple of deep throws to Josh Gordon, which was the first touchdown of the season. Philip Dorsett had a night, 95 yards on four catches for two touchdowns. Edelman, a lot of important third down conversions. He was there. He was catching the ball. He also threw the ball once for 32 yards. The rushing game was pretty weak, which was very disappointing as someone who started Sony Michel in fantasy. But I'll get into fantasy talk in just a minute.
We can get into fantasy talk.
But Rex Burkhead having the bulk of the yardage with 44 yards on eight carries. Sony Michel with 15 carries, only going for 14 yards, which is not good.
I'm not a mathematician, but isn't that less than one yard per carry?
So that's basic stats. But the Patriots just look commanding. They look very well together. One pick by Devin McCourty towards the end of the game was just kind of a deep heave, last kind of effort prayer up there by Ben Roethlisberger. And it was a garbage time field goal. It wasn't anything impressive. It was pretty close to being a shutout. Field goal by the Steelers for their only score.
I was not clear
on that at all. But
no, you weren't.
Yeah. Patriots went there, did their job, got out onto onto our worst nemesis, Miami, Hard Rock Stadium.
In Miami, yeah.
I'll let you talk about the next thing, because that's like the other large news.
Yeah, so
in a number of capacities.
I'm sure we're late to the, we're super late to the game on all of this, but
yeah.
So this is kind of a funny story. So last week, as if you have any sort of social media revolt and follow any sort of sports account or just pay attention to the news in general, you see that Antonio Brown was
Antonio
actually released.
Clown, that's my new name for him, by the
Antonio
way.
Antonio Clown. Yeah, he's on our team now, so be careful.
Well,
Antonio
we'll
Brown
see how
was
long
released,
that lasts.
Released by the Raiders on Saturday. Now, my roommate, who is also happens to be from Boston, or not Boston, but Massachusetts, crazy that we're rooming from, like, 4,000 miles away from where we live, and we ended up rooming together. Anyway, he said something earlier that night after he got released, that he's like, I bet the Patriots sign him for next to nothing. Sure enough, a couple hours later, we were actually in... What do you have a problem with there?
Next to nothing. 1 year, 15 mil.
15 mil, okay.
So
sorry,
we,
not next
we
to
gave
nothing.
Him a check, but continue.
He got paid. Anyway, nonetheless, he called this hours prior, and we were actually in... We were in, like, a club when I got the notification on my phone. I immediately went over to him. I was like, you're not going to believe this.
That's wild.
He called it. He genuinely called it.
That's insane.
So we had, like, man, we had the NFL fearing us for about 72 hours?
Yep.
72 hours. And then
I think
recently,
we still do a little bit, but...
A little bit. Now kind of... The bad news on that front. Hold on, let's take a step back here. Right away when he was signed, what was your first impression? What was like your first reaction?
I didn't believe it. First of all, it was just crazy. Second thing was, I sure hope he doesn't ruin all of New England.
Bet.
Yeah, we saw what he did to the Raiders, so I'm just hoping that doesn't happen. And I think. The Patriots is an organization that's well enough organized and established at this point to not let a player do that. Like, I don't think Bill Belichick's going to be taking anything from Antonio Brown, but...
Well, you're forgetting that we are not coached by John Gruden.
That's true. If you had to look that man in the face every day, I don't blame
him. My instant reaction was I was super excited. Right off the bat, I was like, no way, this is crazy. Followed, I'd say, 3 to 5 seconds later... By nerves, very nervous.
Yeah.
Like you said, what was going to happen to this team? Well, here we go. Less than 4 days later. Oh, goodness. I'm sorry. I should not laugh. But there have been allegations of sexual assault against Antonio Brown. And that came out 2 days ago. I don't know. I have heard nothing from it since.
Yeah, so. we don't need to dive into that too much. But yeah, so basically... This is unfortunate, but because of the way it is legally, they're just allegations. There's no actual trial yet, and it's all civil. Antonio Brown is allowed to play, so there's a good chance he plays this week in Miami and continues to play for the Patriots until basically further notice, depending on what happens in this court case and how that all gets resolved. So, yeah, that happens. So Antonio Brown's continually in some hot water. But we'll see how it pans out. Also, quick update in terms of receivers. New England did deal away Demaryius Thomas after signing him, dropping him, signing him again, and then dealt him away to the New York Jets.
For a sixth-round pick, right?
Yeah, we gave away a very good player. Yeah, I don't know why.
It's because we signed that AB, right?
It's probably because he was new to the system, but we got a better new receiver, so he just kind of took his place. Like, I think they were going to part ways with any of the receivers we have now.
No, purely football-based, we are looking at Tom Brady's top three options are, I'd say still his number one option is Julian Edelman.
Edelman, for
number,
sure, yep.
Number two is Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
And then number three is Josh Gordon, who had a very good week. I didn't watch, but saw a lot of highlights, and am I right in saying?
Yeah, he had a very good game. He had a limited number of receptions, but he did very well in the catches that he did had. He adds that deep threat to this team that we didn't really have before. We're slowly starting to see in Dorsett, but traditionally this hasn't been you have your one fast guy, send him down the field and just bomb it to him, like Tyreek Hill or something, but it's crazy. So, this Patriots team's looking all right for the upcoming season. We'll put it that way.
They were looking all right before all this, so.
Exactly, that's the thing.
Yeah.
All right, do you want to do a...
Jim, should we get into a little fantasy segment?
Fantasy rant, week one.
Yeah. You mentioned Tyreek Hill, who managed to get hurt right into the first quarter, and thus was in my wide receiver two spot, I believe, so that was good for me. But hold on, before you interject here...
Yeah, I'll just let you carry on.
Because I talked a lot of crap about... Not a lot, a little bit of crap about your draft strategy, and... not necessarily your team, but your draft strategy and everything. And I would like you to know that I did my fantasy draft. James, I auto-drafted. I screwed up, and I auto-drafted.
Way to run your mouth. That's all.
So I have nothing to show for it. So here's what happened. Since I was over here in Europe, the draft was at, like, I think it was 12:30 or 1:30 in the morning. And me being dumb, not knowing how clocks work, I saw Wednesday, 1:30 a.m. So I was thinking, oh, okay, like, I'll draft on Wednesday. Gets to be Wednesday, and I realize, oh, the draft happened this morning while I was sleeping. So I auto-drafted. Ended up with a decent team, I would say. Carson Wentz, Tyreek Hill, Duke Johnson Jr., who you said to go out and boom. Rams D, and my running back's better, but
dang. Respectable.
I'll try to pull up because I kind of forget my running backs.
I have
Adam Thielen as well.
Okay.
That's not a good receiver.
Alright, should I launch into a quick fit of rage and then continue on?
So you want to take us through?
All right, I will do that. So we'll do a quick update.
You are becoming a little robotic on my end.
Yeah, you're doing the same on this end, so I'll do my best, okay. Hoping the connection settles out a little bit.
Go ahead.
All right, so in lieu of how my last week went, I did lose 98-130. Partially, we'll get into this later, but the other half of it is that my friend's team did insanely well. He had, you know, Dak Prescott put up 33, David Johnson put up 20, Josh Jacobs put up 23, Amari Cooper puts up 16, Chris Godwin puts up 11, Steven Gostkowski puts up 15. So, very good performances by a lot of his players. Due to how my team turned out, my team name is now the Bench All-Stars.
Yeah.
So, my team was all right. You know, Russell Wilson putting up a 16. Dalvin Cook, great game, putting up 24. Keenan Allen putting up 18. DeAndre Hopkins putting up 23. Joe Mixon putting up 1.7. Eric Ebron putting up 0.8. Sony Michel putting up 1.4. And then we'll go to the highlight of my team name, the Bench All-Stars. Austin Eckler on my bench, 33.4 points. Ooh. Alshon Jeffrey on my bench, 17.1 points. And this is the kicker. You mentioned and alluded to Tyreek Hill being injured. The workload fell on one Sammy Watkins, who scored 37.8 points on my bench this week.
Again, not a mathematician, but I think with a couple of switches there, you could have had the dub.
Yeah, I could have smacked my friends around, but no, it's all right.
So speaking of score, you're not going to like this. I scored second lowest in leagues.
Oh god.
And I
won. You won?
I played the guy who scored the line.
That's
everyone put like over 100 and he put up like 86.
That's so dumb. I think my team as a whole scored
lucky than good, right?
My team as a whole scored probably the most points out of any team, yet I lost. Anyways, that's fantasy update. Maybe pick up Sammy Watkins, go for a trade. He screwed me over. My bench continued. This is what happens to me every year in fantasies. My fantasy bench always outperforms the players that I start no matter what happens. So yeah, that's that. Fantasy update number one. I lost. My bench went off and I'm angry about it. There you go.
Yeah, this does this conclude the sports section?
I believe this concludes the sports segment of our programming.
Yeah, we both just said the same thing because you can't hear me, can you?
Nope.
All right.
I can now.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. This is weird. Whatever, we're gonna keep on chugging here.
Yep.
This is where it should get interesting. I don't have too many interesting things to talk about, but do you wanna lead? Do you have anything like funny we can lead with?
Oh, I
have
a
lot
lot
of funny.
All of mine are funny.
All mine are just like kind of basic stuff. I
All
don't
right.
know.
Well,
maybe you should start.
I'll start us off where my experience in this place that I am now started off, driving in on move-in day. To get to the dorm that I live in, you have to drive through the student housing district, which is just a bunch of big houses that students rent out when they're upper years, called the ghetto by students to paint
is
a
it
picture.
Actually?
It is called the ghetto.
Interesting.
If you're looking for house parties, go to the ghetto. So you drive through the ghetto, and on the lawn of every single, and I kid you not, every single house, I moved in at 9 a.m., there were beer pong tables out, there were house parties going on, and people were going crazy.
Yep.
And our mother did not like it. And I was having a great time sitting in the back of the car, watching everyone's freaking out, chanting stuff at the people moving in. And playing a lot of beer pong at a very early hour in the morning.
Here's the kicker for people that are listening. How did our grandfather take it? Because he was in the car with
yeah,
you guys, correct?
He was pretty indifferent.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Probably brought him back to his glory.
Probably brought him back. Who knows? Anyways, that's my experience started. All right, yeah, I'm good. I don't know if you just cut out again or not.
No, you cut out. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
This entire podcast, are you there?
Gonna have to do some editing on this one.
Are you there? Praise the editing gods. No, so I want to talk about, basically, I've been here for 2 weeks now. We had a week of orientation, which was like intro to the new language, because for those of you that haven't kept up, I'm studying in the Czech Republic now, so intro to like a little bit of Czech so we could get around, intro to like the new school policies and the history of the Czech Republic, which, by the way, not great, James.
Yeah,
these
I figured.
These people have been through some shit in the last like 60, 70 years. So you get just like for a brief overview, they basically are a part of World War II, right?
Yeah.
Although they're not even a part, because like they're gonna like go to war, they're getting ready to fight, and they literally get just like handed over to Germany by the Allied forces.
Oh.
So the Germans move in and
not a
you know
great
do
luck.
Their thing. Do their thing. I don't think they're this is not a actually there is a whole there was a whole Jewish quarter to the city, so it probably was not a great time. But after that, after World War II wraps up, they become Czechoslovakia. And basically, huge Russian presence, because the Russians are the ones that liberated most of the country. So then they have the whole communism thing. There's a very interesting museum of communism that I went to last week. Goes through you know the history here and just everything about that form of government. So a huge Soviet presence here for the next 20 to 30 years. That's not great for the people either. They finally split from Russia and split from Slovakia to become the Czech Republic a mere like 30 years ago. And so for a lot of the older people here, that stuff is fresh in their mind, and they are not that receptive to a lot of the tourists and a lot of the foreign people here. So there's just some different some cultural differences, I guess, if you will, about that. That has been a brief history, very non-informative of the Czech Republic. I will get into some of my like school stuff now. I had an interesting experience with a grading scheme. My very first class here, actually. So I go into class on Tuesday morning, and it's microeconomics, and the professor is going through introducing blah blah blah. He gets to the grading scheme for the class. Every week in this class, we have an online quiz that we got to do before we get to class. All right, whatever, no big deal. That's
makes sense, pretty standard.
He does it. It is 10 questions, true or false, and the highest score you can get is a 10. But you're not only answering true or false, you are also answering how confident you are in your answer. So to give you an example, there are three different levels. There is, unsure, which is basically like the least confidence, somewhat sure, which is the middle, and then like basically 100% sure, which is the most confidence. So not only do you answer true false, you have to put which, like, how sure you are of your answer, right? Here's where it started to get a little. If you are unsure of your answer and you get it correct, you get a point. If you get it wrong, you get nothing, right? That's standard.
Makes sense.
If you are somewhat sure of your answer and you get it right, you get, but if you get it wrong, you lose two. And now if you decide to go that you are 100% sure with the utmost confident about your answer and you get it right, you get a, can you guess, James, an outstanding?
Nothing.
How many points? How many points?
One.
How many points? 3 points, James.
Three
Come
points.
On.
I don't know. Part of that cut out the last one, so I had no clue what's going on. But I got
sorry.
You.
All right. Now, if you get it wrong at the utmost confidence, James, any guesses to what?
Minus five. That's a big minus,
minus
five.
Minus 6 points.
That's so stupid.
Yes. So if you think about it, you can play the test kind of. If you get three right at the utmost confidence, you're already at 9 points, and then you just have to do one at the least confidence.
So you don't lose.
So there's different
points.
Ways you can play the system, but ooh. Also if you just answer every question with the least amount of confidence and you get them all right, you also get 100. So that's a little weird. Believe it or not, it gets weirder as he goes on to explain the like each class is a percentage, like your final is 40%, midterms 30%, whatever, and the quizzes are 30%. That happened to be the standard grading scheme for this class. Now, he was talking and he's like, you know, I get it, some people don't like the quizzes, they get stressed every week, whatever, I will drop your worst two quizzes at the end of the semester. Again, I think that's a pretty standard practice for a lot of college, dropping a low grade or whatever, because, you know, everyone has off days. He continues talking, and it ends up basically like, he's like, you know what, if the quizzes aren't working for you at all, like, if the quizzes are just hurting your grade in general, we'll just get rid of all. So if you can literally do well, basically, on these quizzes, right? If you're not doing well.
Yeah.
They get cut from your grade.
That's so weird.
Oh, well, it keeps going. He later on says the same thing about the midterm. If the midterm is hurting your grade, you get rid of it.
Oh my God.
So basically, you can be left. If you go do well on the final, you'll do fine in the class.
That's so stupid.
And I was actually sitting next to someone who's from the Czech Republic. And I turned to her, I was like, you know, is this like a standard thing? Is this, do a lot of teachers do this? And she's like, no, this is
this is so dumb. Oh my
yeah,
God.
So that's my boring. I talked a long time on that.
Yeah.
People probably hitting that, like, what is it, like, go forward 15 seconds or whatever.
Yeah. All right, well.
Stuff. You got anything else?
I'll brighten it up.
Thank
you. And I'll go my last two back-to-back just... Because who knows how the quality of this is going to be anyways, so I'll try to keep it relatively brief.
Yeah, right. probably a good call.
So,
with it.
This is, I think this is the point, the second day. So we've moved in the first day, and the second day we're just kind of chilling. We have orientation, but this is just university-wide orientation. So it's just everyone from the building that we live in. That's who we're grouped up with. We haven't met anyone from like our programs yet or anything, our majors. So... My roommate and I were chilling in our room, and a couple people come in, and this is like probably 10:30 at night. We're like getting ready to go to bed. We're not big nightlife people, so we're getting ready to go to bed early, get a good start on the next day, because we have to get up early for all the events in the morning. So these people come into our room, and they're like, hey, have you guys checked your ceiling? And we're like, no. Why would we check our ceiling? This is like, why would you, it's like those panels that you'd have in like a high school.
Instant red flag.
Yeah. Have you checked your ceiling? Work? No. Why would we do that? And this group of people goes around, and I now know this is a tradition in the building I live in. The upper year or the students who lived there the last year will leave something in the ceiling. They'll leave
no
a gift
way.
In the ceiling. So people across from us got a 6-pack of Twisted Teas. In their ceiling that have been left there.
They've just been sitting there for months.
Yeah, for months in the ceiling of a building. Another group found like a little care package, like a note, a bunch of pictures, a cactus. And so we're getting like crazy hype. They're like, oh, we're going to find something sick in our ceiling. We open it up, and it's just the broken off back of one of the desk chairs that comes with the room. So now we have a broken off back of a desk chair just sitting in our room because that's what we found in our ceiling.
That was it?
That was all we got. Our room, whoever lived in this room last year, was a number of words I choose not to use on this podcast.
Oh, that's right.
We'll continue on. This is unplanned, but I'm gonna throw it in here. That night we had a fire alarm go off at 2:30. That sucked.
That's pretty standard. Welcome to college.
Yeah, I heard last year there was 32 fire alarms in this building in the entire year at
Oh
night.
my, I would
And
kill
then
myself. Wow.
to make matters worse, 2 nights later we had another fire alarm and it was raining. It sucked again. Since then, we are over a week free of fire alarms, but I don't want to say it too loud.
Do you guys have one of those signs? It's like it'd be so funny if just on the pod, like fire alarm goes off right.
I was thinking about that, yeah. I honestly was like, this might happen, so who
You
knows?
guys should get one of those signs like days since last
That's,
accident.
I
Just
literally
like,
told my roommate we're doing that.
yeah.
All right, so that was a little unplanned one. Do you have another one before we go, or should I just. Because this last one's a kicker.
Nah,
So.
just keep going. Mine are, yeah.
All right.
I can't talk about any of the fun stuff that I did.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so this is the last one. This is when this past, not so we're recording this on Thursday, not yesterday, but a week previous. The previous Wednesday was our last day of orientation before classes. At this point, we are now with our faculties, our majors, whatever you want to call them. So I'm studying business. I'm with all of the people from business. And we're going to this event at a hotel. We're at this hotel. It's like a fancy dinner, and then there's like dancing and stuff, which everyone left for, including myself. But we're chilling in line, and the lines to get in these places are crazy because you have to get frisked every time you go to an event or something. And for those that don't know, it's basically like a quick pat down to make sure you don't have
Frisk?
weapons. Frisked, yeah. Or like.
Why'd you use the word frisk?
Because that's what they call it. They say, may I frisk you? Like a search and frisk. That's literally a legal term. Look it up.
Okay.
Like cops in the States have a right to frisk you for weapons. And the same is true here. So there's like I have the longest line was like an hour and a half to get into a place. Getting into this event, I probably waited 45 minutes just to get in. It sucked. Anyways, so we're sitting in line, I'm talking to people around and there's a t so many different residence buildings at the university I go to. I mean, there's like 18 or 20 just
Oh
residence
my
buildings, and
goodness.
then there's student housing, which we talked about earlier. But we're talking with a couple kids, and one of them goes, "Oh, do you live in this residence called Waldron? Do you live in Waldron?" And they're like, "Oh no, why? Like, what's happening in Waldron? Because usually good parties going on Waldron is what I've heard." But this guy's like, "Oh yeah, there's a snake loose in the building right now."
Oh. What type of snake?
A pet snake. I don't know what
You're
type of
allowed.
snake.
Are you allowed pets there, let alone
No,
pet
you're
snakes?
not. And you're not allowed pets, but people across the hall from us have a cat, I learned last night. So, anyways, we'll get into that later. But this
Oh,
guy goes, "Oh
interesting.
yeah, so this girl had two pet snakes." All right, now there's sirens in the background too, so I'll try to keep this quick
Two pet
and brief.
snakes?
She had two pet snakes, and her roommate didn't like it. So she's like, she said, "Oh, I sent my snakes home with my parents because it was like the day they moved in." But what she really did was just take the snakes out of the tank they were in and put them in her dresser, and lied to her
No
roommate that she had gotten rid of them.
way.
So later on, she comes back, and she finds one snake.
That's
And
one
so
less snake that you burned.
everyone's freaking out, and last I heard, they hadn't found it. So
It's either living in the building, feeding off like the rats and stuff. It's if it's a
I don't think it's that
snakes
big a
are all.
snake, but
Oh, okay.
anyways,
The bugs, I don't know. There's
yeah.
a snake loose
Or
in the
there's just a
residence
dead
hall.
snake somewhere.
There's for sure. What if it grows into like
a larger snake.
just like the basilisk from Harry Potter? I butchered
Just
that
this
name.
massive thing.
It's
So yeah, last I knew
just
there was a snake loose in one of the residence buildings here. So
was a week ago.
that was a week ago.
We will snake watch every
Snake
week.
watch. No, Kevin Durant
I
already
need
signed a
to.
contract, so
Oh.
yep. I'd get that one
Oh
in there.
shit.
Yeah, so
Nice.
that's those are just a number of the things that have happened to me in the last week.
Oh man, that's amazing.
Yeah. I think that's it. I think that's all we got. All right.
Alrighty, well, please do the honors.
All right, well, I'll do the honors and I can hear people coming
Do
down the
what
hall.
everyone listening wants you to do. Close the show
Close the
down.
show down. All right. Subscribe to us on whatever platform you listen to podcasts on. First of all, thank you for listening. If you made it this far, Lord bless your heart because you've endured some stuff at this point. But subscribe to us on whatever podcast platform you listen to this on. Make sure that you are keeping up to date with us. Every time a new podcast comes out, it will alert you instead of having to look it up. Follow us on Instagram, Brady Bros Boston. Follow us on YouTube, Brady Bros Boston. Honestly, those two are pretty dry right now, so do at your own risk. Follow me on Twitter at JamesB_Boston. What's your Twitter?
Follow me on Twitter at Brady Bros. Nick, again, pretty dry. I apologize. Haven't had a whole lot of time to watch sports, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It's on. It's just on too late here.
I'm sure I'll have some hot takes coming up in the coming days and weeks. With football
Yeah.
being back, I will have lots of things to say, and unfortunately for you guys, a platform to say them on.
Very unfortunate.
I think that's about it.
Yeah.
Thank
Well,
you for
thank you guys so much for
listening.
listening. Again, we apologize for the slight dip in quality, and someone is either shaking the entire building or there's a thunderstorm outside. Yeah, that pretty much does it from
That
us.
wraps it up. I think that accurately.
Pray for the Red Sox, pray for the Miami Dolphins, and Lord, pray for that snake lost in the building. Thank
Yep,
you all so
pray for
much
the
for listening.
residents.
We'll be back again very, very soon. See ya.